Warrington advancing now. Oh, he'll go left. But Westham has lost the ball. Philbin kicks it off. And Philbin takes his side to Wembley. Warrington are back in the Challenge Cup final.
Yes, we're back. Coming up on the podcast, we take a look at what's been happening at Wire during the month of July. Join us for question time. The topic's Dexit. Callum's been practicing his French. We need your help in spotting the mystery man known as Jack Hughes. Is there a department store opening up in Warrington? Jack Johnson makes his way to Featherstone. Not forgetting tackle bags. And is Madam Boyd all alone? And yes, we're off to Wembley. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Hello, I'm Rob London, refreshed and rejuvenated after my holiday. And as always, by my side are my two trusty podcasters. Found me a free ticket to the HJ, although I was subjected to him spending most of the evening running back into the toilet due to his dicky bladder and, bizarrely, flirting with menopausal women. And towards the end of the match, while he was half-pissed, shouting out from the main stand in front of men, women and children, "Patton, you fucking shit." It's Sam Sankey. Hello, Sam.
Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. That was a Salford game, wasn't it? It was awful. Anyway, hello. How are you? And good evening and welcome.
We're very well, mate. Now, of course, I've had my holiday. Dennis has had a little mini break with me. No romance, but you're still away, mate. You're in the heat of Spain by the looks of things.
I am. It's absolutely roasting. I've had to come inside with the air conditioning on and talk to you on my holiday. Yeah. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm actually going to get back into the country. I've realised I've only got a month left on my passport.
Here we go. I wondered how long it would take before this come up. Unbelievable.
Well done, Sam.
Any idea whether I can get back into the UK or any other country in the world with just a month left on my passport?
Yeah, we should probably get this out of the way now, shouldn't we? About a day before I was set to fly to Dubai to meet up with the gorgeous Lee, It turned out that I only had 2 months validity on my passport. So off the family went to Dubai. I went via Hong Kong, got my credit card stolen. Only did it all sort of come back down to earth when I got to the Liverpool passport office, which was wonderful. I had a lovely day in Liverpool, walking around, fantastic. Although I did see a guy kicking off with the security guard at the passport office, and I thought, I know, I'm back in Liverpool. So there we go. So thanks, Lee, for the invitation for the drink, mate. We'll do it next year. I'm sure we will. But we should probably move on, shouldn't we, to the second podcaster, a trustworthy friend who on my holiday in Devon cooked my family a magnificent paella, entertained my parents at the local vineyard, and yes, I'd forgotten just how intelligent, witty, and damn right good-looking he is. It's Sir Dennis Waywell.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. And nice to be referred to in that way. Looking forward to the podcast tonight. Obviously, we've got a lot to cover. We should be here for about the next 5 hours. So, Sam, strap in. You'll be here till 3 a.m.
I should say, as one of us was drinking all afternoon in the heat of the sun and is a little bit tardy this evening. That might be me.
Are you going to be bringing any duty-free back, Sam, or is that more of a sort of 70s culture?
Oh, no, that was far more of a 70s culture. And anyway, there's only Carling around here that people seem to be drinking. It's Carling or the local brew.
It was always 200 fags north of the river. 200 fags 200. And a bottle of fags.
200 fags.
Can you bring me some fags back?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, the only thing that I brought back from duty free was a very fancy packet of biscuits from Fulton and Mason's, macadamia biscuits. You don't get those sort of department stores anymore. Do you know those old-fashioned department stores, like in Are You Being Served? Although there is rumour that Warrington are opening one in the Golden Square very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Philbin's perfumery, second-rate halfbacks, Chris Hill wigs, resilient kitchenware and Patton's chocolate pudding going up. Hand dryers, wire jersey shirts and wire flyer cock socks, Ben Murdoch Masilla's underwear going up. Tyrone heaters and marquee sign-ins, ACL materials and soft forward furnishings, cheap corporate boxes and runners-up medals going up.
Don't believe it.
Right, okay. Well, we should go on to review the month's games, shouldn't we, boys? We've been away pretty much for the whole of July. I've just tallied up how many games we've missed. We've missed 5 games. Of course, the big one was last night. We'll come on to that in a second. But we'll briefly just touch on the other 4. I'll read out the scores. We missed Warrington 10, St Helens 21, London 6, Wyatt 36, Warrington 12, Salford 22. That's the one that I was inflicted to with Sam. Castleford 27 and Warrington 18. In summarise, I mean, can we summarise all those together, Sam? Is there a sort of theme that runs through those 4 results, or was it a bit higgledy-piggledy?
Higgledy-piggledy could be a good word. I thought for 60 minutes we competed excellent against St Helens, then fell apart a bit in the last quarter of the game. London, I was at London, I really enjoyed my trip there. It was like stepping back in time. We played really well for 40 minutes, and then the Salford performance was just abject. And I didn't go to Castleford. That was the first day of this holiday, so I can't comment too much. I listened to it, but it sounded like we're just mistake-ridden. And then we'll get on to the semi-final shortly, I suppose.
Yeah, Dennis, that first game, Sam just pointed out that we sort of just for 60 minutes against Saints, we seemed to be okay. Looking at the stats in that game again, Wormsley and Thompson made a whole heap of yards more than Cooper and Hill. Was it a game lost in the forwards, do you think, or it was kind of all over the park?
I think when you look at our forwards, I mean, you know, people are starting to question our forwards, aren't they? And when we began the beginning, that's what we're talking about. I've had 2 gins now. You know, at the beginning of the season, I think, you know, when you looked at Cooper and Hill, it was the best combination in the league. Cooper was offloading all the time. Hill was making yards as well. And then all of a sudden, we seemed to go off the boil a bit. And then, you know, when you compare them to the St. Helens lot, it seems to be that, you know, you favour more like St. Helens. I know my analysis isn't as good as Sam's. I was told by Mr. London Senior, let's get it in now. We know who the favoured analysis comes from, don't we? Eh?
Yeah, we do. It seems to be some kind of love fest going on with my father and Sam. He thinks Sam is the best summariser in rugby league media. I mean, the guy is 87. I mean, let's face it, he's off his tits, but that's what he said to me.
Yeah.
We just mentioned Chris Hill there. I didn't notice this last night. Has Chris Hill got any hair at all? Because last night he was exceptionally shiny on top. I'm almost wondering if he's using some kind of Imac or something on top of that forehead just for the big games.
It's almost like an ultra comb over, isn't it? See it. Yeah. And unless he's, you know, he doesn't favour a comb over anymore, you know.
It's true. Okay, fair enough. There was an obscene forward pass in that game. It may not have quite changed the game. But we should point out there was a pass there out on the left for St Helens that was at least a metre forward and wasn't picked up. In comparison to forward passes last night that seemed quite flat. What's Sam doing? He's having another drink, Dennis.
I know,
is it Carlin? Is
it's
it Carlin,
the only way
Sam?
That's going to keep him awake.
Ooh.
There you go.
But just that forward pass, by the way, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if I had the tackle bags, you know, techno ball in there, that wouldn't have been the case, would it? You know, so
good point. Instantly picked up, red light goes on. That'd have been fine, wouldn't it? But okay, all right. We didn't really need to touch too much about the Warrington London game, although it was a bit bizarre, Sam, that we did score, I think, all 36 points in the first half. Did we just not come out in the second half, or was it a different game altogether?
No, we didn't come out in the second half in anywhere near the same way. He made a lot of substitutions early in that second half, and we still had chances to score, but you could see that the venom had gone out of our attack and we were just going through the motions a bit. But I'll say it's a great day out. Anyone who's not been, if you've got the chance to go down to that stadium or that ground, it's like an old-fashioned step back in time. You can walk all the way around the ground. You're given a very warm welcome. Have a chat to everybody. Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
Well, talking of warm house, I have to thank Sam for getting me the ticket. I should probably also put a thank you out to Bish, whose ticket it was. He wasn't there on the night, and I pinched his ticket. And also to Sam's friend, who was absolutely lovely to me. What was your mate called, Sam, that was sitting next to your gorgeous wife?
Chris,
that's right. Chris, I'm a bit jet-lagged, Chris. Do apologise. Had a nice chat to Chris. And also had a lovely chat to Mrs. Sankey, who did spill the beans on a few things, Dennis. I'll tell you off air later. She did seem a bit mystified. She did seem a bit mystified by Sam, who just spends most of his evening just flirting with women. He's got all these loose women in the stand that he just goes around. You should see him. Very flattering.
They're all
the way
over
he goes
50.
About.
All over 50, they are. Aren't they?
I tell you what is over 50. Tell you what is over 50, and that's Sam's bladder. My goodness. He goes back and to that toilet.
Oh dear.
Although Mrs. Sankey did point out, she said, he is fine through the night. So just when he drinks. So he's definitely gonna be pissing in the bidet in Spain tonight, isn't he? Not having a shit. Okay, well, we won't touch too much on the Salford Warrington game because we have got a section in the podcast this week which I think kind of summed up that game. And then, of course, Castleford beat us last week. So it was all looking a bit downbeat, boys, this pod, wasn't it? We were sort of going down that path of thinking, has the season fallen over? And then we're all upright again because, of course, we had the win last night. We did put it out there to ask what we thought of those performances. We had an email back from Daniel Murphy. He said, 5 drives and a kick. We give penalties away and a defence that cannot slide because they cannot plant their feet. Worried our season is falling apart. Steve Price started to sound a little bit Cullen-esque. You have your hurdles throughout the season. It's not always going to be perfect. In these circumstances, it will show the true leadership of our coaching group and also players too. It's all getting a bit wobbly, wasn't it, Sam? It was all starting to sound a bit as if things had gone tits up.
Yeah, we were just a little bit off in several departments for 3 or 4 weeks, weren't we? It just didn't gel. The back line wasn't really going. Obviously, our friend Declan doesn't really add to that, but also Ratchford. I thought we'd been missing Ratchford big time, and for him to step back in at the semi-final, I think that showed just exactly what we've been missing as a foil to Blake Austin.
All right, well, we'll come on to that in a second. We'll just quickly look at the league table, and then we will come on to
that. Can I just mention something where we go onto the league table as well? Is that remember when we left the podcast, and although, you know, Mr. Rasputin over there around the Halliwell Jones is you know, Mr. I'm the best sort of analysis of a game. On the last podcast, I did say that...
Excuse me, I'm not saying this.
You know, I predicted that we'd have a bit of a belly up and like everything would go a bit wrong. Also, Madam Boyd said that, you know, look at the league at the end of July. There'll be a few surprises. Wigan there in fourth place as well. Who'd have thought that at the start of the season?
He's stretching this now, Sam. I've actually gone back to see what his wording was. And it was clear that he does say that Hull would jump above Warrington. And that hasn't happened. So let's not give him too much credit. You know, he put the rumour out there. He was nearly there. Table has ended up now Saints on 40, Wire 10 points behind on 30, and then sort of snapping at our heels is Hull on 28. That may sort of edge them along a little bit now in the fact that they've lost last night. And then, of course, as Dennis has just said, Wigan in 24 on 4 points, Castleford 24, Catalan on 24, Salford on 22, and then there's a little bit of a gulf down to the sort of fight at the bottom between Huddersfield, Wakefield, Leeds, Hull KR and London, only 2 points separating those 5 teams. Now, we've just spoken about Ratchford, and of course, last night we went to the semi-final. It was a glorious win, Warrington 22, Hull 14. Earlier this week, we were contacted by a chap by the name of You've Got a Loose Wire. He writes a fantastic blog. If you want to see his blog, all you need to do is go to Twitter. He's at A Loose Wire, A Loose Wire. And you can read all his fantastic summaries on there. But he sent us through this soundbite, and I think this pretty much just sums up what Sam has said.
Hi, guys. It's Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire here, speaking just for a little bit about where I think Warrington's season is faltering a little bit as we head into the semi-final on Saturday. Obviously, results in the last few weeks haven't been very good at all, with a loss against Salford at home and a loss against Castleford away. And for me, a lot of the problems that we face right now are in attack. I think our attack is poor right now. I think we've lost a lot of our structure and our shape that made us so clinical earlier in the year, particularly in the first kind of 10 games or so. I think we missed Stephen Ratchford. I think, as well as the fact that he's a better defender than Jake Mamo, I think he offers a lot more to our attack that maybe people didn't quite realise. Certainly in terms of like our shape, and he gives so much instruction to the rest of the team, and he's a bit of a leader in terms of the attack. He's also got a great delivery of a final ball as well, which we simply aren't getting from Mamo, who I actually think is quite a good winger but is not a very good fullback. So that's something that I think is going wrong. Obviously, everyone talks about the discipline, which is still a massive issue and hasn't been sorted this year, but for me, in attacking areas, that's where we've looked weak. I think our attack is predictable. I think it's very it lacks imagination or creative play, and obviously we're completely reliant on Daryl Clark and Blake Austin without Stephen Ratchford. Now, Austin has been marshalled out of the game very well in the last few weeks by Paul McShane and Theo Farge for St Helens a few weeks ago, but it doesn't help that he's only got Patton next to him, who's not offering a great deal. So we're relying almost solely on Clark at the minute, which is not a great situation to find ourselves in. But hopefully this week in training, Price has sorted things out a bit, and hopefully we'll get a better performance on Saturday in the semi-final. Now, by the time you're hearing this, you'll know if we've won or not. So fingers crossed we do. Fingers crossed we get ourselves to Wembley again.
Okay, so based on that, he also speaks about, obviously, us not having any shape. It fell away. And then Ratchford comes back in last night, and all of a sudden, Sam, we look like a different team. I mean, I'm not that pro Ratchford, but boy, did it make a difference last night.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. He adds an extra dimension, and he can be a bit headless chicken. I know that's what your criticism is of him. He can be a little bit like that sometimes, but he adds an extra attacking dimension that gives Austin a little less pressure. And to be fair, it gives Patton less pressure, because Patton doesn't have to do anything then other than link the play, because there's an extra dimension to what we're doing. Yeah, he's quite good at that.
What was the difference last night? I mean, I find it hard to pinpoint what Ratchford did last night that was different to Mamo, yet it was so different.
Yeah, and it's the fact that Mamo, for me, I like Mamo, and if we go back to last year, Mitch Brown was our fill-in player, the guy who came in when anyone on the back line wasn't available. Mamo was the guy this year, but he hasn't got that same ability with his hands. He's got speed, he's got enthusiasm, but he doesn't have the same class at linking into the play. And that's what he's shown during his 4 or 5 weeks at fullback. But Ratchford, just his timing is just bang on.
He's a bit more composed than Mamo, doesn't he? When Mamo looks like, yeah, he's almost like last minute panic whenever the ball's just there. But, you know, there's a couple of instances today. Oh, yesterday, whenever we watched it, is where, you know, the ball was getting into some areas, and he just thought of, like, you know, calmly dealt with it, let it run out of play, you know, set himself under the kick. So I think he does bring that to it. You know, it's not so much, you know, a break or, you know, anything really mega special, but that defence really does make a difference.
It's clear he got the memo, isn't it, now that you two are calling him Mamo again?
Mamo. Actually, I was thinking about it, you know, with him, it's either you love him or hate him. And I was thinking Marmomite. There's one for you.
Oh, very good, well, Dennis.
Thank you.
Very good. You. Very good indeed.
There'll be a bit of artwork to support that at some point.
Looking at sort of the tactics last night, I don't know if we just did things better or we thought about it a little bit more, but we just pinned Hull down right on their own try line for pretty much the whole of the second half. Hull didn't seem to me, Sam, as if they sort of knew how to get out, though. When we were down our end, we did seem to come off our own line pretty comfortably in sort of a combination of the backs running onto the ball first and then the forwards, after they'd taken their breath, coming in on the third and fourth plays. Hull, a lot of the time, seemed to throw it wide. They seemed to be constantly going sideways, looking for something to happen in their own 20. And it just didn't work for them, did it? We just pressed them all night.
No, we did. I thought there was a couple of things that stood out for me. The first half, I thought, was quite even, Stephen. We got slightly ahead, and then we started that second half. That first 10 minutes, we were excellent. In fact, I think it was to 55 minutes before we made an error when Goodwin dropped a ball. And we got ahead, and when we weren't chasing the game, we were then in control. Hull had to chase it. We defended well. We were structured. And they had to try and do something exceptional to get out of their own half. And that's where they started making errors. And we...
Do you think they went a bit early at that, Sam? Do you think there was plenty of time on the clock and they were just, you know, they would seem to be flinging it around, you know, from 10 minutes into the second half?
But I think that was partly due to an excellent team defence from us right across the board. From whatever he said at half-time, we were already playing quite well. Whatever he said at half-time, we just seemed to up it by an extra, well, to use your favourite phrase, 1%. More, probably more like 10%.
Yes, 10%. Dennis, your thoughts on it, mate?
Well, I was going to ask you, actually. You know, you've been asking us for analysis, but, you know, when you were watching it this morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you said you had a discussion with Mrs. London. What was that discussion about? Was it about the left edge defence or the attack in general?
No. The conversation started with my partner saying, take that fucking bright light out of my face, to which I said, I'm just setting myself up. To which she replied, which she knows is my go-to nerve, she shushed me. But it wasn't a small shush, it was a long shush. And I'd had a bad day, I'd been jet-lagged, my team has been knocked out of the netball. Oh, did we kick off? Did we kick off? Dennis, you did ask if we've had wild sex since. No, we've not. That was last April the 2nd, 2018. But that was when you have a four-year-old kid running around the house. So it wasn't the best. And I did come in and out of sort of consciousness during the game a few times. But I did see most of the second half. I did thought we played very well. There were a few little bizarre incidents, I thought. I thought Hicks had a very good game. I think I missed the scrum that he awarded to Hull at the start that should have been ours. There was a couple of very flat passes that we got away with. There was a sort of a high bomb that went up that he said the whole player was offside. They were all correct, but on other nights you think possibly they go wrong. And then Mr. Ben Thaler made a decision in under 3 minutes when he went up to the video referee. Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's been listening to you, fella. That's what it is. He's been listening.
Run it through. Now that's a very good angle. I don't need to see any more. Mother would say, let's finish it there.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. One thing that I did think was a bit odd and nearly cost us the game was on the 64th minute. We had the ball down at the Hull end. It came to the fifth play. Patton did his usual, oh, I've got the ball, I don't know what to do with it, and kind of went to ground. And then on the sixth tackle, only a few yards from their line, Blake Austin decides to boot it into touch. Minute. And from that, Hull went upfield. They got a penalty. Then Hill drops the ball and they score. I just couldn't comprehend what he was doing. We had him right on the back foot. Do you think that would, the logic was right there, Sam?
No, I'm not Sam. I'm not Rasputin either. But let's be honest, he got man of the match, and it was mostly like, you know, for his kicks. And let's be honest, you know, for a marquee signing, you know, he's just turned up with his kicking game, and like, you know, one or two of them are questionable. Is he still like, you know, man of steel sort of material at the moment?
I think I texted you two just somewhere near the end of the game saying I thought he'd been excellent without actually doing anything special. I thought he was good today. I've not seen it back. I watched it in a bar where you can't pause, you can't rewind and say, oh, I just missed that. So I'm just taking it off the first viewing, but I thought he was excellent today.
I've noticed Rasputin's not come up with any stats yet, Mr. London.
No, he's not. I should probably point out at this point, we are going to be joined in a few weeks' time I don't know if you've seen Fake or Fortune, but BBC One are going to do a little bit of a spin-off, Fake and Fortune, around marquee rugby league players. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be joined by the experts Fletcher Treat and Halliwell Moans, who are art historians, and they're going to run through that. And we're going to start, I think, with Tyrone Roberts to see if he's Fake or Fortune, which I'm quite looking forward to. Should be a good episode.
Very good. Looking forward
okay,
to it.
Okay, all right. So, do we have a man of the match? They gave it to Austin. I was tempted almost to give it to Philbin. I mean, I thought Philbin was back to his best, and he scored that lovely try at the end. I did think he cocked that up until they showed the replay, but now he got it down. Or was it just a case of a full, solid team performance across, you know, across the board? Was that the man of the match last night? The men of the match last night?
Was a team effort, yes. I thought Ben Murdoch-Masella showed up very, very well, didn't he?
No, well. Just because he was crying at the end.
What's all that? No, that's about. No, that's about. That's about getting a new contract, isn't it?
Well.
Crocodile tears. It could be. Crocodile tears.
Yeah. I thought we're on Cooper
to you.
Was very
we're
good
on to you, Masella.
Yeah. Cooper was good. Hill, other than that error you just mentioned, was good. Just across the board. Across the board.
Dennis, I've got an idea for a soundbite. Write this down. Crocodile tears. He's a detective. He's a detective gone on. Yeah. He's fallen on hard times. It's Ben Murdoch-Masella.
Yeah.
And he travels around the Potteries, not the Cotswolds.
Oh, no.
Looking at unsolved cases around broken china. Put that down.
On that Jimmy Nail, crocodile tears.
Don't mention that, Sam. Don't mention that.
Jace. Are we calling him Jace? I feel a bit of a hipster if we call him Jace.
Yeah, sound a bit American Jace. If you start calling him Jace.
Jason Clark. Yeah. Jason Clark, I thought, was very good. If you remember when we were scoring our players, like, you know, for their abilities and how they play for the club, I gave him
a
9.
Again, here
and,
he goes again, sir.
You know, that's analysis for you. You know, just putting it out there, you know.
No, he did. He played very well. The other lad played well, didn't he, from London as well? Even though we've all spoken about him being a little bit small.
Davis.
Again, Davis. He's like a little Jack Russell, isn't he? Just biting
he's got,
around their
he's
heels
got one
the
of them
whole time.
Headbands on. Has he got his iPod in or something? Like he's listening to music. He's running along.
What would he listen to?
Head a few weeks ago.
What would he listen to? Going underground.
You know what? No, I've got him down as a sort of like a small Ozzy Osbourne. You know, like he'd be a bit of metal. But he'd be one of them ones at the front, like, you know, that everybody helps when he's, like, been squashed at the front.
Well, I've got a couple of merchandises plugs to do at this point then. There is an album coming out. I don't know if you know this, but after the release of the Philbin sing-along, we had record downloads. So we're going to bring out a Christmas album, as a Philbin Christmas album coming out. And we should also mention at this point as well that we now have merchandise. If you want your What Would Brian Bevan Say t-shirt, just get in contact with us. If you've got any kind of neck irritation, probably don't.
Yeah. Where's the budget for this T-shirt thing coming from anyway, Mr. London?
We'll stick 20 quid on it and we'll be fine, mate. Don't worry about it. I've had to take mine off. It gave me an awful rash on my nipples. But it was a thought that counted, Dennis, when you bought me that. It was good. Thanks, mate. Okay. All right. So we should probably move on, shouldn't we? It's been a busy month. Down in Glastonbury with the likes of Stormzy, The Killers, The Cure, all playing the Pyramid Stage. But rumours came back of a glamorous old lady stealing the headline act's limelight. Could this be our very own Madam Boyd? Dennis put in his call to the chip shop to find out more. And is there a temporary assistant now, peeling the spuds?
Good evening, Dennis.
Ah, Madam Boyd. Not lost your touch. Knew it was me.
Indeed, Dennis. Touching balls. You remember Glastonbury, don't you?
Anyway, moving on. Do you have a prediction this week, Madam Boyd?
Yes, well, as you know, Dennis, I have a vacancy in the chip shop. I will be operating alone this evening.
Oh, have you got anybody in mind, Madam Boyd?
Let's just say I've stacked up on a few non-stick items, Dennis.
Okay, right, well, look out for that. Right, go ahead.
One moment, Dennis. Ralph, dear. Ralph?
Ralph?
Yes, dear. You're going to be with us for a while, aren't you, Ralph?
6 months?
Yes, yes. But let's see how it goes first, dear. Now, dear, let's try the balls again, shall we? Oh, for goodness sake. Come here. Thank you, Ralph. You're alone 6 months.
I thought you were operating alone, Madam Boyd.
Yes, well, I didn't really see Ralph contributing that much. Yes, what do we have here? When there is a wobble, a bit of gelling is required.
Well, we've certainly got a wobble on at the moment. Not sure what gelling is required. I probably won't mention that to Rob London. He'll just think it's something he can rub on his cock.
Talking of which, Ralph boy, well done, boy. You've done well in your first outing.
It'll be a great 12 months for us.
Let's not get carried away, dear.
Bloody hell. I'm not surprised Rimmer's working down there. What a pile of shite he's turned out to be. Did you see the picture this week in the canteen? Hey? The genius of this. Rugby league. Hey? What's the old drunk from Arsenal football team doing on the M wearing some kind of massive golden shower up his neck?
It looked like it was the bowls committee from some Labour club in Bolton. Didn't it? With the vending machine in the background.
Do you think rugby union just takes a look at that and just like basically can't get off the floor for about a week?
Oh, anybody will take a look at that and just think, what are them bunch of fucking idiots doing sat behind there? Are they marking papers? Or are they like, you know what it reminds me of when you go to vote and you know, like a couple of people are sat behind the desk and they've been there for like 20 hours and you go in and you try and make conversation and you go, oh, are you all right? And they're like,
Who is it? Who's sitting next? Is it Barwick that looks like he's had a stroke?
Yeah,
he's got like his mouth open with. He's like he's about to bite his tongue.
I think you should tweet that picture. On the right, I don't know the bloke on the
right.
Not...
He looks. Yeah, the bloke on the right who's got less of a chainmail on than the what's the football lad called? What's the Arsenal lad called?
Tony Adams.
Tony. He's got less of a chainmail on. He just looks pissed off that he's not got the bigger chainmail on.
I read a thing today and he said, don't judge us on like our sort of like, you know, environment and what we've got, the picture looks like, but judge us on what we've done. And I thought, no, I'll judge you on the fucking picture. You look stupid. Dude, if that's as good as you can get, what are you doing elsewhere?
Gee, I mean, don't judge your book by its cover, but judge it by its cover. It was a little bit Victoria Wood dinner ladies, wasn't it? And I did put a tweet up. There was also a picture, going back to Are You Being Served, of them all having lunch with Captain Peacock and you know, Mrs. Slocum. Exactly the same. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, there seems to be a rumour there that we're gelling together down with Madam Boyd. Any idea what that could be, Dennis?
Well, let's be honest. I had a bit of a conversation with her offline about, well, you did actually tweet it as well. And knowing that this podcast is going to like go out a bit late, I wouldn't surprise me. But by the time we're talking about this, it's already out there.
So. Well, we should probably point out at this point that it did come in from numerous sources in the end. We won't give our original source away, but there were a few others that came in afterwards. And I won't give another source away, but the club have denied it. So we'll wait and see. I mean, we talk about him coming next year, but they are adamant that he is not coming this year. So whether they're telling porky pies.
For me, I don't know this because no one's confirmed it that I trust.
Keep going.
It's like the Enigma code, isn't it? The way we just, don't say too many words, Sam. They'll be able to decipher.
But
did we start by mentioning the weather? Wasn't that how they broke it?
Yeah. But we have been told Atkins has already been released. Jack Johnson's gone off to Featherstone. The two lads, although they're back now, went away for a month to Hull KR. It almost looks like we're making a bit of extra room on our salary cap,
hang on, Rasputin. Listen, I said that the other day. Don't you know what? No wonder everybody thinks he's a good analyst and everything. I come up with all this, and then it just gets
And of course,
like a parasite,
Brown was
isn't he?
Put off.
Parasite. Yeah. Yeah.
Brown was put off the cap, wasn't he? Early in the year. When does St George finally realise that they're not in the playoffs down there? Is it another couple of weeks before they?
I'll give my mate Gareth a call. I mean, I've got his number in my phone. I'll give him. I did actually text him after the game. I said, "Well played, Gareth. You did
well
really well.
Yeah.
It's just Rob London here. Yeah. Just thought I'd say well played, Gareth."
Typical. Yeah, can I just remind you, by the way, that Madam Boyd predicted that right at the beginning of the season.
Yes, she did. Madam Boyd never gets it wrong. She also predicted, also sent a tweet out earlier this week from Madam Boyd to say that Ratchford would play, which was absolutely shot down by the Warrington supporters, only to be proven right. We should. At what point did they? Was it a little bit like? Is it Escape to Victory where they break the goalkeeper's leg? So they can get Sylvester Stallone out. Is that what they did with Charnley? Did they right, we need someone to break something. They put Charnley across a splint or something. And what was wrong with him, Sam? Do we know what is up with Charnley? He seemed to be clapping his clutches together. Oh, I shouldn't probably say that.
Well, safe, steady on.
He was clapping his clutches at the end.
I don't know what's wrong with him. I just got told he was struggling. That's all I got told.
No, I do. Yeah, thanks. I watched the interview and they said apparently he had a little tear
in his knee and it's been operated on and it'll be out for 2 weeks.
So there you go.
Oh, well
we actually interviewed Just Charlie on the pod a few weeks ago, didn't we, for Callum. I've got his number in my phone. So I sent him a little text just before the game to say, are you all right there, Josh?
Yeah, Jesus.
Right, it's time. Okay, we need to move on. This is it. We're going to get serious for a second. Cue the music.
We are 23 games in. Should he leave or should he remain? It's not Brexit, but Dexit. We put the vote to you, the listener, to decide. We're live on Question Time. This is Patton Politics.
Stephen Savage. Patton only plays for Warrington because he was born in Warrington. He'd be working a regular job and playing at Swinton had he not been. No club at the bottom of the table would take him. Wire gambled with the wrong man. They chose Patton, not Morgan Smith. Who tried to turn into a hooker? Smith is twice the player Patton will ever be.
Andy Bilby. It's too risky to change our structure. I like his consistency.
Ian Wolstentone. It's clear to me Patton would make an outstanding rugby union player. I live in Bramhall, and Declan was the talk amongst my chums in Piccolino's on Friday night.
Philip Kaplan. Remain. He knows what his role is. He's integral to the team. He points and directs the rest of the team around the park.
Christopher Gregory. Leave. Not good enough for our standards. Patton will only encourage criticism during bad games.
Leave. Dr. Hassel.
There's nothing we can do for him.
Alan Duckworth. Having worked as a heat transfer engineer at NNC Risley during the boom years of the UK atomic energy era, I say, give the lad a chance. He's our physicist now and can split a game open like I could split an atom. Chernobyl killed UKEA, so don't let another meltdown mean we need to source our creative engineers from France.
Another lever. Plump! He's a receding player, like my hair.
Sam Sankey, you're fucking shit, Patton.
Oh, very good.
We've covered it there. Now we did put the vote. We did put it to the vote. The vote went out there. It was on Twitter. The question was asked basically: should Patton leave or remain this season? It wasn't as close as the Brexit vote. Dexit finished 71%. Said he should leave. Sam, we were at the Salford game together. I hadn't actually seen him in live until that match, really, for a long, long time. I'd forgotten just how shit he is. I realise that now Patton has some kind of stutter where he looks like he's about to do a dump every time he gets the ball. He offers absolutely jack shit. And I will go as far as saying, in the 39 years I've been watching Warrington, I have never seen a scrum half as poor as Declan Patton.
I can't add to that, can I? listen, I think just for a little bit of balance, we don't doubt the lad is giving full
Sam, that's
effort.
Too much balance. Just, 70% you know, went to Lee. That's too much balance, Sam.
He is, Rob. He's plenty of effort. He's just not good enough. End of.
Let's give him 27 games.
Okay. Right. Now, there's no doubt that possibly the podcast has been too focused on Declan Patton. So it's been brought to our attention of another player at the club who seems to be flying under the radar, not so much on the pitch, but away from the pitch. Yes, the mystery known as Jack Hughes.
Have you spotted him anywhere? U-J-H-O. Unidentified Jack Hughes objects. We want to hear from you.
I'm pretty sure I saw him in Lidl last Tuesday. I mean, I can't be 100% sure. He had a number 12 on his back, ginger hair. He was buying light white milk.
Are you sure it was him?
I can't be 100% sure. It looked like him.
Yes. Oh, he was definitely him. It was, what time was it, Beryl? About 4 o'clock, wasn't it? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock last Wednesday. We were outside Paul Heaton's hairdressers. And I just saw this wish of red hair go past and I thought, that's Jack Hughes, didn't it, Beryl? I said, it's just Jack Hughes.
Are you sure it was him, madam?
Well, I can't be 100% sure, but it definitely looked like him.
I was on business in the north of England at precisely 3:32 Burtonwood Services when I saw a gentleman in a car with Jack Hughes written down the side of it. I distinctly thought to myself, he don't play for Gloucester Rugby Union team, he must be a rugby league player.
Did you get a closer look at him, sir?
No, I can't say I did. No, I didn't.
If you spot U-J-H-O, let us know. The phenomenon known as Jack Hughes.
Dennis, seems there's very little known about the Ginger Pimpernel.
Isn't he one of those players that goes under the radar? We don't really talk about him. You know, we brought this up because I don't think we've actually really talked about him for more than, say, 10 seconds in the amount of recording we've done. How many hours have we done, Mr. London?
Very true. Well, you say radar there. I mean, Dennis's tackle bags, you're inventing this radar. You know, you've got the Kezai on the market. Would he fall underneath that? Would he not be spotted on Kezai? Is this a real good tactical weapon we could employ?
It could be, couldn't it? Yeah. And maybe we should actually think about, some of the actual clothing, whether we could actually sort of make it in a particular way that it is invisible to...
of course, what the US did, because all that bounces off angles, doesn't it? So what you need is a smooth surface. So Ben Murdoch Masilla would be fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Chris Hill's head. Yeah.
But it is a bit of a strange one. He has gone sort of like, he's there every week. We don't talk about him. Sam, what does he do?
All the little dirty things that tidies up for everyone else is like Mr. Fix-It.
Hey, let's not talk about your sex life.
What was Winston Wolfe's, thing in the
I know we appeal to the demographic over 65, but Winston Wolfe can step too far.
I have no idea. I'm north of the river. We only did,
guess. If we did a vote on who would know who Winston Wolfe is, I reckon 95% of our vote would be dead.
It wouldn't. Half of them would think it's like Wolfie in a past life.
All right. Well, let's move on
maybe
to
that's
a couple
what
of
Jack
other.
Hughes does. Maybe he's Wolfie when he's not in when he's not on the pitch.
Oh, let's put it out there. Well, if you've spotted him, you know where to go. UJHO. UJHO? Yes, UJHO.
You got it right, yeah. It took you 10 takes for that.
I did, yeah. Right, okay, well, let's move on to a few poll and readers' wives section. We should point out, actually, that the T-shirts are available, that male, female. We do need your size before we can post you on. And also chest size would be good for the ladies.
Oh, hell. That's going to get cut.
Okay, how many of you predicting that Wire will win the next five games? Options were 0, 1 or 2, 3 or 4, or all 5. The poll really went to be 1 or 2. Most of you think 46% think that Wire will win 1 or 2 games from the game against Castleford, Hull, Catalans, St Helens and Wigan. Well, we've won one. We've still got Catalans, Saints and Wigan to go. So it'll be interesting to see, Sam, possibly if we're a bit more upbeat now going into these games with such a magnificent victory last night.
Yes, it depends.
Hello, Spain. Hello, España. Are you there? Can we have your votes? Spain.
Here are the results of the Spanish jury. 2.
Oh.
Ryan Rooney, 2.
Very good. Is it not duo?
Duo.
Another poll we did was, is it time that we start questioning Steve Pice's impact as a coach at Wire? Again, we had 4 options: outstanding, good, average or must do better. It was a solid 50% for good. Only 9% thought it was outstanding, which is a guess on the fact that he's not brought any silverware in. 14% thought must do better. Maybe that was a little bit of a theme that was running through the poll at the time due to the fact we had lost a couple of games on the trot. Dennis, you're leaning forward. You seem keen to add something to this, or is that just your posture?
Yes, just me. It's just me breast resting on the table. No, I was going to say we could have put in spades as one of them, because that seems to have been replaced. Well, it's replaced resilient in spades. Any idea what that means? Yeah.
I thought for a while he'd gone down the path of hard nosed. That was the one he seemed to have replaced. But he's definitely opened up his sort of sayings a bit, hasn't he, recently?
Yeah, it's in spades. If you want to know what Steve Price is thinking, it's in spades. Spade. If you want to know what it means, write into us.
Okay, a few more players to discuss. We've already kind of touched on this, and Sam's brought it up, and that's Ryan Atkins, we believe, has left the club. He's been a terrific player. I think during this poor run of results, Sam, we could have done with Ryan Atkins out there, getting us on the front foot a little bit. He's possibly off to Wakefield, we think.
I don't know where he's gone. He's had an operation on his wrist. And again, I must stress, this is not from my normal source, but yes, I believe he has finished.
Is it his scissors hand? Is it scissors hand?
It could be, couldn't it? Yeah. It could be. It could put his whole career into jeopardy, that, doesn't it? But Ryan Atkins, he is a bit of a Marmite player. But for more than 10 years, he has been excellent for the club. Not quite a world beater, but a guy who season in, season out, has always been very good for us. So yeah, if he doesn't play again, it's a shame, but all the best, Ryan, really, from me.
I think you need to just check your hard drive, Dennis, because yet again, Sam has pinched another one of your lines there with Marmite. I mean, only 20 minutes ago, you were saying about Marmomite, or whatever you called him, and he's at it again.
It's because I've not done any prep for tonight. I'm just stealing his lines. Yeah.
Well, here's one that...
Can I just say something, though, Atkins? I've thought about this before, that, you know, sometimes when players go beyond their sell-by date, you know, Atkins is a very good player in his time. And, you know, but then the trouble is that, you know, sometimes clubs hold on to them for that one or two seasons, just too much. And, you know, you get the odd game
like
out.
Like women, isn't it? Like relationships.
Here we go. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's fresh in your mind. Oh dear.
Well, one thing that was very bizarre, which knocked Dennis and myself off our chairs, was the release of the Great Britain squad, and there was Ben Curry. Come on, Sam, and I know you've knocked him in the past, but are we not anyone better than Ben Curry at the moment? I mean, I know he's been a great player, but he's lost that yard of pace. He's not back to where he was. But it just seems that carte blanche, you just get your name written down on the sheet if it was there last time out.
Ben Curry is an outstanding rugby league player. Let's see whether he gets his extra half yard of pace back. But I'd have him in my squad every day of the week if he's fit.
Yeah. And you'd put him in the Great Britain squad.
What about you, Mr. See, London? What's your analysis?
Well,
you
see, in the train-on squad, it's all good. Yeah. Whether he gets picked for the actual 17 is another matter. But in the train-on squad, perfect. Perfect player to pick.
I think it just shows that the lack of... And I'm not having a knock at Ben Curry. There's other people in that squad as well that I, you know... It amazes me that are there, because if you're in the Australian squad, you've got to be right bang on song. You don't get picked based on the fact that your name is, you know, Ben Curry. And they would not be picking a guy who's had two ACL operations. He's still coming back onto form in their squad. They'd have an abundance of players that they can just move into it. And we just seem to have 30 reasonably good players in the British League. And then after that, it just drops off, doesn't it? It's just
Rob, I'd agree with you there. But that's not Ben Curry's fault, is it? That's a fault that we've only got. And they are very good, but we've only got that core group of maybe 20, 25 very good players. Australia have got 50 or 60 very good players.
Right. We're gonna hold the podcast here, because anyway. So, Curry, right?
You having a fit, Dennis?
No. No, Curry, right? He's not good enough. He's not good enough. He shouldn't be picked. And it goes on sort of like past history, doesn't it? And I was watching Plane Spotting live this week. And, you know, the BBC can get criticised.
Good show.
Yep. The BBC can get criticised for sort of employing people from certain sort of backgrounds and so on. And I thought they were doing it about a particular pilot that was on that show. But when you watch the show, actually, that pilot was very knowledgeable and worthy of being on the programme. You know, it seems to me that Curry is just a token sort of put on there. How many line breaks has Curry made this year? Along with Toby King, actually. I thought a centre was supposed to make like breaks and sort of interact with the winger and so on and so forth. We've not had
position. You're right, Dennis. If he was a centre, he would.
Well, if he was a second row, Sam.
But he's a second row.
Yeah, well, how many breaks has he made from the second row? Jack shit. He's not made one break.
Come on then, Dennis. Who are you going to pick instead of him?
Well, that's the trouble, isn't it? This is where it all goes back to. We haven't got the depth in the British game to pick someone else.
But I don't think we've got them type of players. That's an area. I think, you know, they've accepted that they've got Ben Curry now. And, you know, they've got no one else, because they think, oh, right, no, Ben Curry's all right there. We don't think, there's anything wrong there. So,
We'll kind of finish on Ben Curry, but we'll just a couple of points about his pace. A few weeks ago, I think it was I'm not sure who we were playing at home, but someone intercepted, and it was basically Curry who had to chase the guy down. And he was chasing down a centre or a winger, and he made no yards on him at all. Over the course of about 60 metres, he never caught him at all. He didn't lose ground on him, but he just sort of chaperoned him to the corner, and he scored. That exact same player broke away at London the following week. It was almost a replica. The winger was the old Warrington winger, the one with the Welsh name, who... I know he's a big lad, and I know you've said, Sam, he's a winger, but he hoed him down in about 30 yards. He turned round and caught this guy in 30 yards, and I thought that showed a striking difference to what the pace Curry had in comparison to you know, what it is now. Also in the Salford game, again down this left edge, Curry somehow found himself out on the wing, and he came round the side of the Salford winger. And, you know, you expect a winger to run down a second row forward, but not as quickly as he did. It just seemed to be a little bit flat-footed, Curry, when he got away. It's obviously taken its toll, that injury, and he's never going to be quite the player he was.
I think the other thing as well is, let's be honest, we're only talking about Great Britain. I'm not talking about Warrington. And I think the thing about it is that really, having come back from them injuries and never really truly achieving that form, why put him into, you know, extra games with the Great Britain and have an expectation there as well?
Mm-hmm. Lovely lad, though. Lovely lad. Okay, I don't know if I want to even talk about these two. I've written down a note. Levette and Johnson, on loan at Hull KR. Then they were brought back, seemed to be brought back for no reason whatsoever in the fact that they didn't play. I guess that saga just continues with those two, doesn't it? We don't really know what's going to happen to them, whether either of them are suddenly going to turn into first-team players. Maybe Johnson has the ability still, although we've not really seen anything of him at all. One player who has left the club is the gorgeous Jack Johnson. Always possibly a little bit too small. He's on his way to Featherstone Rovers. And not only will he be playing rugby league, because I understand he's going to appear on a new walking show.
And now, following the popular series of Britain's Best Walks with Julia Bradbury, BBC Two brings you a new walking show to enjoy. Rambling with Jack Johnson.
Opportunity to play for Featherstone Rovers. I set off from Warrington, taking in the Pennine Way. The 63-mile walk takes in the stunning countryside across vale and hill. But unfortunately, making the journey at this time of year, the abundance of high hedgerow meant I could see not very much, what with me only being 4 foot tall. My next treacherous encounter was rabbit droppings. To you, possibly not a hazard, but it's like falling in quicksand for me, and who wants to drown in bunny shit? Ironically, later on that day, hiding in a rabbit warren would save my life, as a kestrel spotted me from afar and swooped down. Ah, fuck off, you twat! After hiding until the coast was clear, I take nearly 4 hours to climb over a farmer's stile and into the forest for safety. Although to you, you'd probably just call it moss. And as night fell on my first night, I made camp, constructing myself a man-made shelter out of a Waterfield's custard tart aluminium case and a duvet from a Quality Street wrapper. I woke at the crack of dawn, and after successfully climbing out of dawn's crack, set off for only another 56 days of walking ahead of me. Right, off I go. Oh shit, is that a cattle grid?
What's happened to that rugby union guy? Burrell.
Luther.
He was apparently like very close a few weeks ago, and
Sam actually saw him play, didn't you, Sam? So what did come on talk London. Us? What did he do at London? Come on, talk us through what he did.
Okay, it was only a cameo. It was only probably 15 minutes, but he's a monster of a man. He's a physical beast. So he's like huge. Him? Oh, he was enormous. I was scared. I was stood 10 metres outside of the pitch, and I thought, bloody hell, I hope he never runs at me. God, he's enormous. Joking aside, when he gets up to speed, he could be a real asset.
He's on speed? Is this something drugs? What's this? You're breaking this on the pot, Sam? I wouldn't be surprised if from does, rugby union. They're all get snorting up. In rugby yeah. union.
Let's just does get up to speed.
Just to
year,
confirm,
we'll find out.
It's now 12:15 in Spain. So let's forgive Sam for just. he's talking to the midair.
He's talking to his partner now. There's something going off camera here. Oh dear!
He's having the same conversation as you at 3 o'clock in the morning, wasn't he?
Okay, everyone. You thought you'd kick the habit, and no doubt, as you finally stopped shaking after the addiction of the next section started to slide away, it's back, like Renton in Train Spotting. You just cannot help yourself, can you? Go on, take a listen. It's the rugby league drug that keeps on giving. It's time for Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
And next week on What Would Brian Bevan Say, Tackle Bags will be coming live with interaction.
Well, this week, as many moons ago, 200 cups of shit coffee ago, 25 sticky toffee puddings ago, you may remember the last topic of Tackle Bags, Rob. It was... Rhetorical. It's augmented reality simulation.
So you went off with your rhetorical, didn't you? And you've slipped up now. You've used all your.
I know. It was an extra word. Anyway, in short, arse. This is where the integration of high-tech glasses supplying augmented reality overlay of visual data and commentary, enhancing the spectator experience. We said that, or I did. Nobody really else agreed. I'd write to I'd write to Shane Moran and ask him to fund it and see what exactly we could do. We had 56% said yes. Teabag, he said, nice one. Can you get Pornhub on it when the video ref is on? Well, it's not a bad idea, really, is it? You know, maybe another market there outside of rugby league. No, 22%. Bloke number two wrote, what if it's raining? Yeah, if you had glasses on and stuff, yeah, I suppose it'd be a bit of an issue. Sam, you've got glasses. Is that an issue when it rains? I've never had glasses.
Can you leave me alone while I have a little sleep?
Oh. And other 22%. A lot of people were confused with this one, suggesting our demographic is mainly over 75 years of age. J.R. Stanley said, you're talking out of your augmented reality simulation environment.
You what?
Yes,
you
your ass.
You what?
Your ass. Anyway, this week... thanks, Sam, for putting your augmented reality glasses on for this part of the podcast. This week, I would like to pick up on Mr. Tony Adams. Yes. Having
topical.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know, this is a proper podcast. Now, he suggested this week having some form of football rugby hybrid. Jesus, you thought Tackle Bags ideas were good. Yes, this is brilliant. I've got some ideas for Tony. So if you think that these ideas are any good, then I'll obviously get hold of Tony Adams, write to him and suggest some of these ideas. So I've come up with a couple of things. Maybe we have a tuck and pass, bring it off your line in that 20 metres element to speed up the game. So it's a non-contact tackle. That's required in that area, similar to football. It's a non-contact sport nowadays, isn't it?
Sam, what are you going on about? What is he going on about?
This is to compliment
Tony. Clue.
This is Tony Adams' thingy. This is how good it gets.
I've forgotten this part of the show, really. And do you know? Well, your analytics show that everyone switches off at about 50 minutes in.
This is what it is.
They turn on.
We had a bit of a production meeting in the week, and we looked down at where we're spending all our time on this podcast, and it was clear that this section averages out at 12 minutes. So I think we need to drop it down to 8 and put Dennis on some kind of tackle stop clock. I think that's the way to do it. Anyway, to reel him back in.
You know what? I'm just so happy that you're both interrupting during this section and you've not fucked off somewhere. Anyway, if we could maybe have a penalty box. Now, this penalty box becomes quite important. I was going to suggest that maybe a kick from the halfway line and the tackle in the penalty box results in a handover to the offence. Rewarded for obviously a good kick and a good sort of follow-up. If the offence maybe catches the ball in the six-yard box, which is just in front of the post, then it's awarded an auto-try, like that. Also, then, if there is maybe a penalty or an offence, a foul, in the
Are you saying offence or offence? What are we doing here?
We'll be revisiting that next week on Tackle Bags Live.
So the other thing is I thought about also, you could choose maybe to have a penalty, but the penalty kick could be worth 3 points if you kick it through the bottom of the sticks and the opposition has a goalkeeper in place. If you score, you get 3 points. So all these ideas, heading the ball over the sticks, maybe an 8-point try. So these are obviously the football-rugby hybrid, building on what Tony Adams has come out with this week, because that's what we want in our game, somebody who really understands rugby league, and I'm there right behind him, helping him on. I'll write to him with these ideas. Just give us your thoughts at whatbevin@gmail.com or Brian Bevin on the Facebook page. And Mr. London, if you could finish that off for me, thank you very much.
It's very good, Dennis. That was really. Have I mentioned that we've got T-shirts now available? If you want to send in your sizes, more than happy to do that. I have actually sent a quick tweet to Gareth just to see if he wants a T-shirt. He hasn't written back yet, but I'm sure he will. Excellent don't section, injury, Dennis. I like the fact you've got this going live.
Don't injure his neck.
No, don't injure it. Oh, that's true. Yeah, don't injure his neck. He did kick the winning goal for St. George yesterday. And then turned out he didn't. And we put it up on Twitter. We got quite a response from it. I think we'll be running with a bit more fake news this week, which will be good. Okay, having spoken to many Wire supporters, it turns out you want more of this young man. It's over to Callum, and just what will happen in the south of France.
Avec las cables sur la drama de Bolton, nous passons avant un voyage difficile dans le sud de la France, encore une fois pour Fossa Catalan. C'est toujours un match difficile avec la Dragons, qui luttent pour place dans la top 5. Warrington, des fois, font un changement bien meilleur. L'entraînement de Clark et Austin doit présenter pour régler la foi, défense dans dispose Steve McNamara, mais il reste encore beaucoup à faire. Avec seulement un poignet de partis en jeu, avec quelle série ne nous touchent, c'est un gros test pour Wire, du conseil de Deschemin Place, l'allocation et épousi Bonivier, Catalan, allez! Olé, olé.
Dennis, what did you make of Callum? I think he's pretty much spot on the mark this week. I mean, I think everything he said there was pretty much bang on. I don't believe too much in what he said about the left-hand side and possibly the right edge swinging round from the back, converting onto that fullback's opportunity to run onto the ball, which leads to the prop scoring in the corner. But apart from that, I thought it was pretty much bang on.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way he describes the six different plays in the in the attack, and using the forwards with a combination of like pulling in the fullback once the wingers have actually done a bit of work as well, and then obviously look to put that play on where you're actually forcing the defense on the on their line, making sure that you can obviously trap it in, and really sort of like using the substitutions to make sure that you can keep that momentum all the way through the half. I think he covered that quite well.
I think it's interesting the fact that, you know, often the translation doesn't come through into English, does it? And there's certain points within his topic there that obviously, clearly, if we got the whole of the Warrington dressing room to speak French, there'd be more passion there within their play. But excellent work, Callum. Keep it up. You've got loose wire on your tail now, mate. Loose wire on your tail. We named an episode last time after the Catalans away game entitled 4 o'clock in the morning. They say the early bird catches the worm. Well, it certainly didn't catch the worm last time Warrington headed to France. We went down 23-22. I'll go to you first, Sam. How are you predicting this one will go? Are we all going to be pissed up still and have a bit of a hangover, or are we going to go there kindred spirits and win?
We're going to go there and we're going to win. Nice and easy. Catalan... very up and down. I know they're at home, but we've already busted that myth. We are going to go there and win 28-16.
Well spotted there, Dennis. Yeah. We've already busted that myth. Yeah.
His mess, he said.
Yeah.
Busted his mess.
Exactly.
Thought it'd been a quiet holiday.
Sorry, Sam, what's your score? What are you going for? What was the score again, mate?
He's gone now.
28-16.
Can we have that in Spanish, please?
28-16.
Oh, dear.
Ooh. Deary me.
I think we've contravened one of our values.
God, we didn't ask him for it in Afrikaan. My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, dear. He's really let himself down, hasn't he, tonight? Rasputin's a gommer.
We're not going to be able to put half of this out, Dennis. We're going to be eating all night. God, unbelievable. Well, I'll go next. I think we won't win. I think we'll fall back into that that rhythm that we've found ourselves in recently. I really think one of the reasons we beat Hull was that everyone was up for it, and I'm not quite sure we can play to that intensity every week. And Catalan, I think, may need the points more than we do. So I think the slide will continue a little bit. So I'll go for a bit of a flogging. I'll go Catalan's 30, Wire 10. I think Dennis... Oh, no, Dennis is doing some kind of mathematics. What are you doing here? Some kind of an equation?
Catalan's 16, Wire 20.
Well, he's done the medium, hasn't he? That's what he's done there. Yeah. He's added it all up. He is a long way behind in the prediction, so we'll see what
happens.
Bonus
points.
Now, that all seemed harmless enough. It's good to be back and have you back too. Let us know your thoughts, Facebook, whatbevan at gmail, or tweet at whatbevan. So until next week, it's another despicable heckle from Wash Your Mouth Out Down There in Spain, Sam Sankey.
All the best.
And also, this man doesn't even need to say goodbye. Just an aura of him leaving the room is enough to make your heart feel torn in two. I'm missing you already, Dennis.
Mike Cop.
I'm Rob London. I'm off to check the validity on my passport. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Got you that, didn't it?
I think it was more of a visual gag, Dennis.
Oh, did it not work on the podcast?
Hello, is that you, Jay, Joe? I think I've just seen Jack Hughes stuffing a big Toblerone down his throat on the corner of Sankey Street. Thought I'd just let you know.